Okay, we'll get started. So today's sermon is the second part of the book of Judges, as we have looked at the first part last week. And there's part three next week as well. So today, at part two, we'll be covering chapters 17 to 21. And it's about the consequences of the improper teaching. So historically speaking, the book of Judges is telling us about the story of the Israelites' lives in the land of Canaan, the promised land, which finally happened since 50 years after they have left Egypt. Unfortunately, the book of Judges is not about some fancy story that describes about how the Israelites lived a godly life in the promised land, but rather it's a story of the circular events of Israelites experiencing corruption due to their arrogance and greed. So as we mentioned previously, the book itself contains about 360 years of history. Chapters 1 to 2 are describing about the life of the next generation of Israelites after not being able to wrap up about the war in Canaan in a clean fashion. So chapters 3 to 16 are talking about how the Israelites have lost their sense of duty and started to live a tragic life due to the invasion and provocation from the outside. These Israelites were supposed to live this awesome life because they have finally arrived at the promised land that they were hoping for. But instead of expanding, they collapsed completely. And last week, we have examined that this result was due to the sloppy faith and belief that they had for God and due to their absence of proper education. So in chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, and chapters 3, from verses 7 to 8, precisely describes about how this result had happened. So in chapter 2, verse 11, it states, "Then the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served the Baals. They forsook the Lord, the God of their fathers, who had brought them out of Egypt. They followed and worshipped various gods of the people around them. They provoked the Lord to anger." You see what they did here? Even though God was looking directly down upon them, they still managed to worship false gods and idols. This is the God who told them how to live in this world and what their missions are for this world through Moses and through Abraham. Through Moses, they showed them what to do, how to live their lives in this world. And God was just kind of looking at them, kind of monitoring them, but they still managed to worship other gods. However, somehow, they managed to, again, completely ignore his commands. In verse 13, the result of this was that because they forsook him and served Baals and Asherites, in his anger against Israel, the Lord handed them over to raiders who plundered them. He sold them to their enemies all around, whom they were no longer able to resist. So let's think about this for a sec. I mean, what kind of life they had to live in order for God to use the enemies to stomp over the Israelites after all that they have went through? They finally made it to the land, the promised land of land of Canaan, and God basically used the enemies to stomp them over again. I mean, this is ludicrous, right? Before delving into chapters 3 to 16, we're going to first examine chapters 17 to 12, 20. It talks about the two stories related to the chosen ones to carry out their lives of the calling, which are the Levites. It describes about the history and the general flow of the history as well. And although chapters 17 to 21 come at the end of the book, they really flow well after chapters 1 to 2. So it is recommended that when you're reading the book of Judges, read chapters 1 to 2 first, then jump ahead to chapters 17 to 21, then come back to chapters 3 to 16, so that you can have a better understanding of the book entirely. So chapter 17 to 18 introduces the person called Micah. Chapters 19 to 21 introduces the Levite and his concubine. Both of these stories relate to the people of Levites. Recall that Levites are the chosen people to carry on the mission of God's words. They are the ones to educate and to teach others about the promises that God has made for them. They're the only ones that didn't actually get their proportion of the land because they were to carry out this mission. So they were separated and lived amongst other groups of Israelites, the different groups of Israelites. So they weren't given like a land for them to live in because their duty, their mission was to not stay in a specific land, but they were to kind of spread around, to go around and preach the word of God. That was their mission. Unfortunately, they lost their purpose of the duty that they had. Instead, they lived their lives in ways that they saw as proper by charging people for their teachings. So they kind of abused the duty that they were given, and they started charging people like for goods and food and money, right? The Levites' income was the offerings that were made at church. This was supposed to be their income, their only income. So the offerings that people make at church, they use that money to kind of live their lives. Same thing for pastors and, you know, people who serve at the church. However, we can see that they weren't being genuine about this because they were going around to town to collect the offerings instead of relying on the offerings that were freely given at the church. This tells us that these people, the people that were supposed to be at the forefront of leading in the preaching of God's words, have failed to live up to that expectation that God had for them. In sum, they were living lives according to their own wills. In other words, it is when they lost their purpose of the mission, their mission was when they started to live for the sake of survival, for sake of their joys, for sake of their desires, for the sake of their earthly desires and fulfillment. So in the modern times, we see that the pastors and the leaders have this role like the Levites were given, right? It is questionable whether the pastors are acting similarly to these Levites, or are they living an opposite life of what they were doing in this modern time. And it's a big problem, right? For a lot of the churches. Although there are other churches that are just the opposite of Levites. And it seems like some of the pastor's sermons are focused for the sake of gaining other things such as popularity. The leaders of the church seem to have become like an event planner to please their people instead of teaching them about how to live a godly life. Rather than doing that, they're just trying to live that life for them, on behalf of them, so that they don't actually have to try. So the people could come to church without stressing out about how to live this godly life, and the pastors are just saying, you know, I'll basically live that life for you, and all you have to do is fulfill my needs, such as pay a lot of offerings, or such as help us build this big church. Moreover, all they seem to be caring about is, you know, the building, right? Like, we see a lot of the churches, all they care about is building a new building, a bigger building. And they become greedy by keep on trying to expand their empire, per se. And we must ask whether we are really focusing our effort into what we have been called into doing, or are we living like the Levites mentioned in the Judges? This is the question that we must be asking, not just the pastors and the leaders of the church, but just the apostles, the people of the church. The members of the church have to be asking this question, and whether we are truly living up by the standards of the words that are given to us in the Bible. So what kind of news are we hearing about the pastors today? What kind of things are the people of church focused upon today? Although I grew up in church, it is truly sad to see people focusing on things that are irrelevant to God's work, irrelevant to God's calling, irrelevant to God's mission, and for his kingdom. And from what we can see, what kind of time period that we can see, So let me rephrase that. So it is truly sad to see people focusing on things that are irrelevant to God's work. And from that, we can see what kind of time period they're currently living in, right? So are they living in the period where the Levites were finally in the land of Canaan and they're just abusing their mission and their duty so that they could fulfill their own needs? Or are they truly living in an era where they're actually trying to preach and try to spread the gospel? And this generation and the generation in Judges are truly sad to see because they're very similar, right? And these two time periods are where we have lost our sense of purpose for the God's calling. The first story is about Micah, and who had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some idols and installed one of his sons as his priest. And in order to properly understand this part, we must understand the overall flow of the history. Without the proper understanding, you just end up making you scratch your head, right? So chapter 17, verses 1 through 5 state as follows. Now a man named Micah from the hill country of Ephraim and said to his mother, "The 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from you and about which I heard you utter a curse, I have that silver with me. I took it." Then his mother said, "The Lord bless you, my son." When he returned the 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, she said, "I solemnly consecrate my silver to the Lord for my son to make a carved image and a cast idol. I'll give it back to you." So he returned the silver to his mother, and she took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to a silversmith, who made them into the image and the idol, and they were put into Micah's house. Now, this man, Micah, had a shrine, and he made an ephod and some idols and installed one of his sons and his priest. And installed one of his sons as his priest. This story is just messed up from front to bottom, as we have just read what had happened. Like, you probably read this and was like, what is going on? This just doesn't make sense, right? So this woman is keep on saying, "Oh, like, the bless of the Lord, the bless of the Lord, the Lord will bless you, my son." She's saying all that, and she's going to the silversmith in order to make false image and false idol so that she could worship, so that her son could worship those gods, those idols. And they installed them into their house. But they genuinely believe that that's the right kind of religion, that's the right kind of practice for this religion. So if you just read this, read those verses without thinking about it profoundly, then we can mistakenly just treat it as like a normal verse. However, if we understand chapters 1 to 2, we can see that the history is clearly telling us that even though these people are calling it the God, this God had become whatever they wanted to be. It had become an idol for their convenience. It has become a convenient God. And from this story, we can see their current spiritual status. Currently, they're treating God in the same level as the other false gods. Even though they may appear as if they're seeking for God, truly, they're only looking for the idols that they can continue to bless them. They're only looking for idols that they could be blessed upon without doing anything else. So if they were properly educated, then these people would have a genuine chance of worshiping God to the fullest. So we can see that because they didn't have a proper education laid upon them, they ended up making a false idol. And they genuinely believe that that's the right kind of practice that the Christians should have. And the Levites, who are supposed to be doing that job of properly teaching the words to the people, they were just going around collecting goods and money in return for teaching and guiding them with the things that people wanted to hear and desired. So, you know, some of the churches, some of the pastors like Joel Osteen in America, those churches heavily criticized, right? Because it seems like they're only preaching the good things, the good news. Not the way to properly worship God and to serve God, but they only talk about the good things that the people want to hear. And the church grew and grew and grew because people wanted to come to that church to make them feel good about themselves. And in return, their church, they have big buildings, big beautiful buildings. They make a lot of offerings. The pastor is probably one of the richest pastors in the world. Not that we know their true intentions, but it just, in the outer part, it just seems very similar to what the Levites here were doing. So what I am afraid of is, it seems like we're living the similar life in the present world. The leaders of the church are doing exactly what the Levites were doing, because it seems like we're trying to compromise our religion with the earthly desires and goods. People in this world try really hard to alleviate their thirst of the questionable things in this world with some scientific theory or scientific evidence. But we, the leaders of the church and the people of the church, instead of focusing on alleviating the thirst in a godly way, it seems like we're just utilizing the teaching in order to make a church that's good for the world. Meaning, we're kind of treating this as some kind of business in order to fulfill our desires. And we're treating this church in a way that we want. Not what God wants, but what we want. To make this place as like the fun place for the people in this world, instead of focusing on the true teachings. After building the shrines for their false idols, and after hiring one of the Levites, in verse 13 it says, "Now I know that the Lord will be good to me, since this Levite has become my priest." I mean, this is basically saying, "Yes, God, I hired this person, your person, that's supposed to be your number one go-to guy. And because I think this is the holy way to do it, I hope that you're pleased and that you will surely bless me now." That's what he's saying. He's just being an ignorant fool. This sounds insane to us, but this is basically what they were genuinely believing at the time. And what had brought about the situation? It was the false teaching. It was the corrupt leaders who are not doing their job of teaching the proper words had led to this tragedy. And this is the image of the people and the judges. And it won't be too far-fetched to say that this is a reflection of us in this modern era. Verse 6 describes the image as this: "In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit." So did Israel really have no king? Is verse 6 really saying that the Israelite had no king? No. They did have a king. God was supposed to be their king, but they didn't treat him as the king. And the biggest problem was that they defied God to be their king. Therefore, they ignored his calling and his commandments. This had resulted in forgetting about God's words and his promises. This all is the evidence and proof that they were willing to do whatever they wanted to do. And God has sent them to live according to his words and commandments and truly as his people. But because they defied and ignored those things, they ended up making Christianity as some kind of false idol and false religion. In conclusion, chapter 17 does a good job of portraying the vivid image of what the spiritual status of these people were at the time. In chapter 18, the Danites were seeking a place of their own where they might settle, because they had not yet come into an inheritance among the tribes of Israel. Instead of claiming the land that was rightfully given to them from the Amorite tribe, they were actually in the run and couldn't come down to the flat terrain. This story is telling us that the Danites, instead of doing what was right, which is to fight for their rightful land, they chose the easy avenue, which was to just run away from it, run away from the fight. Danites went inside Micah's place to take the carved image, the ephod, and other household goods, or gods, and the cast idol. And this Levite, as a Micah's right, at Micah's place, thought about this and decided that it would be better for him to be the priest of the entire tribe instead of being the priest of a household. This truly shows what kind of greed we have as we live in this world. We can see that people have turned away from God's words because they have felt that it was really difficult to live according to God's mission and goal. And they just ended up ignoring God's orders completely and freely, decided to change their entire mission. So instead of trying to fulfill God's mission and to His words, even though there might be some obstacles and difficulties, and even though it must be kind of difficult to abide by God's commands, what they did was simply change the mission. They're like, oh, God's way seemed tough, so we'll just turn around and go on another easy way. So regardless of who it is, and what kind of tribe you belong to, and what the nation is, if they think that it is difficult to abide to the holy life, then we end up like the Levite's priest. Pastors or apostles can also lead themselves into the place where they can be better treated if they start to think that there is some place better. If they start to think that there is some place better than heaven. So chapters 17 through 18 are describing about the lives where the leaders of the church, the Levites, have become corrupted because they were willing to do whatever they wanted in order to live a more rich and more wealthy life in this world. So I would like to encourage every one of you to not to give up and to change your aims and missions just because you feel burdensome by the commandments or by the mission. The land of Canaan is supposed to be this dark place, and nothing can be easily gained there. It wasn't like Garden of Eden. God didn't promise the Garden of Eden. God didn't say anything that the land of Canaan would be like Garden of Eden. He didn't even give any of those hints. They were expected to work hard, and that they were expected that this place was a dark place. But God has led them there. Right? So let us stop blaming on the environment and on our surroundings and on our circumstances. Let us not use that as an excuse anymore, but rather, let's take this opportunity to really expand our boundary, to become a bigger person in the name of Jesus Christ. And let us be reminded today that through the worst, we can see that what has actually made our lives difficult and hard to endure was our own actions of ignorance and of our defiance of God, rather than the circumstances that surround us today. Thus, chapter 17 through 18 are showing us how the Israelites have forgotten their duties as God's people and are just wandering around as ungodly people. So that was the story of chapter 17 through 18. And now we'll move on to chapters 19 to 21, dealing with the second story. And in these chapters, we're talking about the story of a Levite and his concubine. And this story is telling us that the result of what can and had happened due to the improper teaching of God's words and commandments is teaching us what could happen if the pastors start to improperly or inadequately teach the word of God. Even though this happened, you know, hundreds and thousands of years ago, it's still applicable to this day, right? So even the title of this story is just amazing. We just talked about how Levites were the holy people, the chosen people, the leaders of the Israelites in terms of teaching. No one else, not even the descendants of Moses, could teach the words in the name of the Lord, because they weren't given that mission, they weren't given that duty, they weren't given that privilege. It was only the Levites who were able to do this. But the title, it says, the Levite with his concubine, you know, with his mistress, pretty much. And to say that a Levite had a concubine is to say that a pastor has a concubine, which is absolutely ridiculous and absurd. That's the bottom line. That's the title is just self-explanatory. And a Levite who lives in a remote area in the hill country of Ephraim took a concubine from Bethlehem in Judah. And when she was unfaithful to him, when she started to be unfaithful to this Levite, she left him and went back to her father's house in Bethlehem, Judah. And while he went there to bring her back to his place during the journey, they came across this place near Gibeah in Benjamin, where they were encountered by a group of men that wanted to have sex with him. So this group of men, they wanted to have so they were men to men, wanted to have sex. And verse 22 says, while they were enjoying themselves, some of the wicked men of the city surrounded the house. So the people who surrounded the house were people who came to wanted to have sex, right? And people who were enjoying themselves were the Levites. And pounding on the door, they shouted to the old man who owned the house, bring out the men who came to your house so we can have sex with them, right? And when the owner of the house went outside to tell them, no, you must not treat my guests in such manner, these men ignorantly dragged the concubine for their pleasure and raped her and sent her back at midnight. So you realize this Levite was just at home, and the group of men came barging in, took his concubine, brought her outside, dragged her outside, pretty much, you know, beat her up and raped her, and they sent her back at midnight. And you can really see what kind of culture these people had at the time. And when the Levite woke up in the morning, he saw that his concubine had died, right? He asked her a question, there was no response. She was dead. So what did he do? He put the dead body on back of his camel, and they went back to his place. So when he returned to his place, to his country, he cut off her body, limb by limb, into 12 parts, and sent them back, or not sent them back, but sent them into all areas of Israel. Then all the Israelites, from Dan to Beersheba, and from the land of Gilead, came out as one man and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. So this is the important part. They came out as one man and assembled before the Lord in Mizpah. You know, these were the people, right? These were the people where there is no record of these people gathering for the meeting to learn about God's words. So there is no record in the Bible after they got into the land of Canaan. These different tribes of Israel, there was not once mentioned in the Bible where these people were gathered together at one place, like the place of Mizpah, to talk about God, to talk about God's words, to talk about God's commandments, to talk about what Moses, their ancestors, had taught them, and what kind of promises that were made at Mount Sinai. They weren't talking about any of that. There's no record of them meeting together like annually, monthly, whatever, to talk about them. But they got together to have this meeting because this corrupt Levite has sent, you know, different parts or different limbs of the body of his concubine and sent them to them, right? So what the Levite wanted to do was to send the message to the Israelites, be like, hey, these brothers in Benjamin, they basically raped and killed my concubine, and we need to do something about it. We need to get this thing right So I'm sending you parts of this body so that you may gather, so that we may be unified to resolve this matter. And when the Israel got together and united as one man against the city, the Benjaminites would not listen to their fellow Israelites. And this ultimately leads to a civil war. And unfortunately, this had left the Benjaminites with only 600 men, and the rest were all wiped out. They killed them all. And this is precisely the consequences of what inadequate teaching can bring about. It has this snowball effect, and at the end, it can end up creating problems that cannot be recoverable. It is very ironic of what these guys were doing. They don't realize that having a concubine in the first place was a sin. But they're too busy trying to condemn others for what they have done wrong. So they're saying, you guys raped and killed my concubine. But the fact that I had a concubine in the first place, let's just ignore that part. And if you look at verse 48, the men of Israel went back to Benjamin and put all the towns to the sword, including the animals and everything else they found. All the towns they came across, they set on fire. And in chapter 21, they realize what they have done wrong. And they tried to patch up the wrongs that they have committed. But even this action seems unholy and unwholesome. Their lack of willingness to teach and to teach the right words to these people have not resulted in one catastrophic event, but actually it was slowly revealed and struck upon them. So it kind of added up, right? It wasn't like God wasn't like, I'm just going to kill you guys all, just punish you guys all with this thunderbolt, whatever. It kind of add up at the end. So God is a merciful God. He continues to give them opportunities to come back to him and to repent for their wrongs. If this Levite had realized what he had done in the first place of having a concubine was the wrong thing to do, then God would have forgiven him. But what they do? They thought, even though the sin had arisen because of their own sins, they tried to only fix the sin that came afterwards. And they even messed up on that as well. So God couldn't, you know, take it anymore, right? And if we break down each sequence of events, we can see that there seems to be nothing wrong done by the Levite, because all they were trying to do was to rectify what was done wrong by the Benjaminites. They were the ones that raped and killed the poor concubine, this poor woman. And all they wanted to do was to punish them for their wrong. However, if we take a broader approach to this picture, to this events, then we can see that they weren't trying to punish them in the name of the Lord. In verse 25, it states, in those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. So they weren't treating God as the king, and they weren't trying to rectify this problem in the name of the Lord, but they were just trying to do it for their own sake. So in the bottom line, this Levite should have never went back to get her concubine back from her father's place, right? He shouldn't have taken that journey. He should have realized, oh, she left me, but oh man, I messed that up. I shouldn't have treated her as my mistress in the first place, because I am the messenger of God, and I should be the one who should be holy enough to teach the words of God to the Israelites. That was his mission. He should have realized that. But what did he do? He went to go get her. He went after the sin. So every problem comes when we forget the history as God's children, the history that God has revealed to us. And therefore, slacking off on these missions and callings that were granted to us. So it is important to check upon ourselves to see whether we are trying to refresh ourselves with God's words and histories. This should be our main duty. The problem that we face originates from our failure to do the daily meditations, and therefore forgetting about God's words and callings. So it is when we become lazy with the words, with His words, with the meditation, with our quiet time, is when we start to forget about His promises. Is we start to forget about His commandments and His heart and His intention and His purpose for us in our lives. Then that leads us to be ignorant and to start to defy God and start to look for a convenient lifestyle and to look for the things that will please us and the things that we desire, not what God desires. So they all kind of intertwine and intertwinedly relate to one another. And we must remember that. And we must know how imperative it is to actually meditate on His words and to know His words and to continue to remind ourselves with His words. So the biggest problem with Christianity at the time being is that the church is not teaching these people of the big picture to the history that is laid out in the Bible. We're not teaching the words within the context of the history that is happening in the Bible. The problem occurs because people forget about the history that is being told in the Bible, and we start to lose God's heart and intentions, and rather we only focus on the commandments that He had given us without understanding why He had give that to us. The only way to understand His purpose is through the words in the Bible, but it is true that there are few churches that seem to overemphasize and over-exaggerate on the performance and the music part of the church, like the other parts of the church, right? Other parts of the service, rather than focusing more on the preaching of the words. For the younger generations, the younger you are, they tend to think that the words are overrated and somewhat out of fashion. You know, the words tend to come after the other things, right? So they're like, it comes with the friends, it comes with the music, it comes with whatever they want to do on Sundays. The words come after. Instead of living their lives within the context of the words in the Bible, they tend to live their lives in the manner that they desire and kind of look for God whenever they need help, right? They treat the prayer as if it's on the same level as God's words and believe that they can just pray through their problems instead of finding the answers within the Bible itself. Within the reading the words, they're like, I could just probably pray about it and expect that God would do things for them, right? And when people say they believe in God and attend church, many of them have never opened up the Bible on their free will to meditate the words. And 90% of them fail to read a chapter a day. Just one chapter a day. And we're covering 5 chapters in this 1 or 2 hours that we have on Sundays. And they fail to read a chapter, maybe even a verse. And if we slack off on our meditation on the words, we become more arrogant because our will and desire oversteps on the will and desire of the God. And if we continue to live that way, it is when we start to forget about the purpose of being sent into this world. And that's when we start to complain about the things and start to make excuses and find other ways to please our desires. That seems to be the theme at the time being. These were the Israelites. They were crying and they were, you know, thanking God because they had been saved from being the slaves of Egypt. These were the same people. They experienced all the greatness, the Red Sea being splitted, They're the people that witnessed that. But what happened once things start to get rough? They forget God's promises and start doing evil things. And when problems occur, instead of trying to find answers within God's promises, within the history that they had, the great history that they had, they just simply blamed it on their leaders, such as Moses. And they simply gathered together to overthrow their leaders and try to kill them. And they even tried to return back to Egypt to be slaves. Why is it that we cannot be united for a mission, but only be united when we are there to complain and to try to condemn others? They forgot about God's commandments and His promises because of their selfish desires. And we continue to forget about God's history and forget about the happiness that were brought upon their lives. And they tend to only focus on the problems that they're currently facing. This is precisely the reason why, after arriving on the land of Canaan, instead of focusing on the rightful leaders and the gods that and God that teaches them the truth, they have created false idols that will give them pleasure and joy. They are more happy to worship false idols and gods instead of relying more on the leaders, the rightful leaders, or the God Himself, who's only guiding them with the truth. As children of God, we need to check our spiritual status by examining the book of Judges. It is scary. It is truly scary to think that all we want in this world is a quiet God who won't require anything demanding to us, but only is there to please us and to bless us. A God that merely acts as a genie. That's the kind of God that we're hoping for a lot of these days, even though we may not expressly admit it. And what has made the land of Canaan a dreadful place? It was the place that God has promised to do His it was a place that God has promised to His people, and it was supposed to be the place that were full of stories of, you know, salt and life of the work of God. And why did the people so bogged down with the concept of ignoring and defying God's words? God is the same God who never changes. But why did they curse God, the same God that had blessed them and was at one time they were very thankful for, and started to go against His will? What made them to do this? These problems occur and originated from one root: failing to uphold God's words and failing to remind ourselves with God what God has done for us, and therefore leading our lives into our own desires and wants. To recap, we saw that the biggest reason for such result was due to the fact that the Levites were failing to do their job, which was to teach the words of God in a proper manner. Because they were inadequately teaching the words, and rather just abusing their duty, over time it has gotten worse and resulted in this corruption. And one bad event had led to another event, and now it made a chain of events that are just irrecoverable. And that's what the book of Judges from chapter 17 to 21 is showing us. So let us learn from their mistakes and gain the insights and wisdom to understand how to live on this world. We need to ask God for that wisdom. And when we read the book of Judges, we really, really, really have to understand the wisdom and the insights that God's trying to reveal to us through the stories, through these two stories. If we don't realize that, then it'll be very hard to live a differentiated life, the opposite life of what the Levites were living in this era. These Israelites were supposed to be living a blessing life and the most happiest life now that they have finally arrived in the land that they were hoping to get in. But the book of Judges is showing the opposite of that. So from next week, we will continue on the book of Judges, chapters 3 to 16, which covers the famous stories of Samson. And that'll be all for this sermon, and let us pray now.